My name is Apostle Larry Duggan, and this is Radio Niger coming to you on the airwaves of Radio Rasso. Beautiful sunny Monday morning. You are great. And we are sure that it will be a good day. You are so most welcome to this morning's show, and we want you to stick with us for the next 2 hours at the most. You will enjoy every bit of it.
You are great.
I promise you. This song is just to lift up the name of the Lord, to extol His greatness. And I want to invite you to be a part of it as we lift up the name of the Lord, to bless His name and worship Him. We declare this session open with a word of prayer. And Father God, once again, all the glory, praise and honor belongs to You. On behalf of myself, my wife, our household, on behalf of all the believers in this city, this nation, we want to thank You that You have, Your mighty hands have kept and sustained us. You have been our provider, our healer, our comforter. We want to ask You this day, Lord, to go ahead of us and lead us every step of the way. Bless and prosper the work of our hands. We commit this broadcast especially into Your hands, that You will use it to touch lives and help us all. Thank You for every home that is receiving this broadcast. Every man and woman, every family. My God, touch them deeply at the points of their need. Work a wonder in our lives. Magnify and exalt Your holy name. Let the glory of the Lord be poured out as never before. Thank You so very much, Lord. Be glorified. Jesus' name. Amen. Serving you with some very good gospel music, tidbits from the Word of God, and a lot more. to all our fans out there, good morning. And we want you to engage with us today. And let's have a great time together. Bring to you now the psalm of today, taking it from Psalm 75. Psalm 75. It says, "I will give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare that your name is near. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The Lord, the earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. And to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge, and he puts down one and exalts another. For in the cup, in the hand of the Lord, there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed. He pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all do. The wicked of the earth drain and drink down. But I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked will I also cut off. But the horns of the righteous shall be exalted." Say amen. The horns of the righteous shall be exalted. That's a symbolic language of saying the authority and the power. The strength of the righteous shall be exalted. God will ensure that whatever pertains to you will be established. And anything to the contrary will be subdued and broken. Say a big amen tonight. Enjoy the music as it comes. And we get ready to bring to you in the course of time the Word of God. And after that, a piece of the pastoral forum. Today we'll be continuing our healthy lifestyle segment. We'll be talking to a migrant mother and a native Dutch mother. And we'll be looking at what it takes to raise healthy children from both cultural angles, cultural, racial angles. We want you to be very much a part of this great time, this great discussion that will be coming up from 9 o'clock. Just join us. This is Radio Elijah. We're coming to you on the airwaves of Radio Razo. Good morning to all of you out there, our friends and fans, Uncle Bobo and the rest of them, Madam Yvonne and all those good people out there. God bless you. The known ones and the unknown ones. This is Radio Elijah live on the airwaves of Radio Razo. Getting ready to blow you away with the word of God, and after that, some other nice things. God bless you. Enjoy the show. Okay, now it's time for the Word of God. And I'm glad and honored to present to you this morning Apostle Heller of Dokino.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, somebody. I'm glad to be coming your way this hour. As you have heard, my name is Apostle Helen Ruth Dokino of Rivers of Life Bible Church. I'm positioned this moment to bring a few words of exhortation to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you. We give you praise for a bright new day you've just given unto us again. We thank you for the gift of life. Holy Spirit, please take absolute control and use these lips of clay for the glory of your name. I pray that you touch the ears of our hearers, that they would, oh God, hear the word of God without any distraction and let it minister to them life. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all the saints joyfully say, big amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. honestly speaking, I really want to encourage us from my heart, deep down my heart, even though I'm going to read some scriptures, but I just want to talk about signs of mature Christians. Why is this important? It's very, very important for us in Christendom to try to grow. When we grow in our spiritual dealings, when we grow and become mature Christians, the job will become easier and the world will become better. Because sometimes it baffles me why people easily get irritated and why maturity is not being displayed among us even when we say we are Christians. Therefore, if you are listening to this broadcast and you are a Christian, I am encouraging you to grow, encouraging you to become mature. When people are mature, there are certain things we see in them. So if you are mature in the Lord, you will show up with the attitudes of Christ. And I hear amen. You will be like Christ. People will see you and see me, and we will become readable. We will become readable. They may not necessarily go to the Bible to read, but our exemplary lifestyle will depict, will show, and will promote and lift up Christ in the nation that we are in. Say a big amen. The Bible tells me in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, from verse 22, let's read. It says, then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. The news, the good news of what was happening around after the crucifixion, after the stoning of Stephen, and the church have scattered by that time. People have gone to various places. They have taken, they have hidden themselves in some areas, you know, the disciples of Jesus. So what happened was that there was much persecution. But in the midst of the persecution, things were still happening among them. The Bible said the news of these things, what great things that was happening, reached the church in Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And he encouraged them all that were with purpose of heart, that they should continue with the Lord. Hallelujah. They should continue with the Lord. That means he encouraged them. The disciples, they have scattered. They have gone to places, run to different cities and different villages. But the power of God was still with them. Why? Because that seed that had been sown in them, the seed of salvation, went with them wherever they were. they were genuinely converted and became followers of Christ. So if you are a child of God and you say you are a Christian, you must be genuinely converted. You must genuinely leave the old nature, genuinely repent, genuinely confess your sins, and then take Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. And then when you have genuinely done these things, I'm telling you, there is no way the old nature will be showing up and will outgrow the new nature of Christ, which is in you. Though you may still have the old body, but through the confession that you have made, you have obtained salvation. That means you've been salvaged, you've been saved from your wretchedness. You've been saved from the old nature. You've been saved from the things that have the power to destroy. And now you put on Christ. That means you are now having the semblance of Christ in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, grow up. Say, grow, become a mature Christian. It is so sweet when you become a mature Christian. That's the time God can trust you with things. He can trust. I mean, just like in the natural, you cannot give a child what he can't handle. Many of us are crying and telling, Papa God, please do this, do this, do this. Daddy, do this, do this. Father in heaven, please do this, do this. But we are not getting them because he is expecting some certain level of maturity which we are not displaying. So he cannot give to you that which you are craving for because you are not mature. When you give a child that is craving for fire because he's looking at the flame and it is very, very interesting to him, and you put that fire in his hand, it will burn him. So certain things we are craving, but because we are not matured, we can't receive them. So if you want to be receiving from God, please grow and be matured. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Bible said, this guy traveled. They went as far as to go and be looking for Saul. And the Bible also said, the same Barnabas they sent, that he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the church. So then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. When they were sending somebody to go and meet Saul, after they have heard that this Saul had become converted, they didn't just send somebody who was a novice. They didn't just send somebody who is like a yo-yo. They sent forth a man. A man that was written in the Bible as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said he was also full of faith. So look at the qualities of mature man. He was what? A good man. A good man. The Bible called him a good man. The Bible called him a man that was full of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit? See? He was full of it. And then the Bible also said he was a man full of faith. So, you see that? You see? The goodness of God in the life of this man began to be manifested to the point that people can testify that indeed he was a good man, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was full of faith. Why did they send such a man to go and meet Saul? Because they know that he wasn't just going to go and meet ordinary person. He was just going to go and meet somebody who have once been persecuting the church, who was full of wisdom, who was, you know, who had become too learned in the secular world. So they needed somebody that would be able to contend this man to go and meet him and bring him. So the goodness he displayed met others who saw them to now say, indeed, these are Christians. Christians means followers of Christ. Are you hearing me? That word Christian means a follower. And a follower of Christ is a disciple. Or a disciple is a follower of Christ. Then the question is, if you become a matured Christian, then you are now a disciple. And then my question is, are you a disciple? Are you really, really a true follower of Christ? This morning, I encourage you to know that you can only be called that word, that name, Christian, when they have seen people, the outside world, have seen that you are really displaying the nature of Christ. Let me read what I saw. Somebody posted on Facebook or WhatsApp, and it really touched me. Qualities of a matured Christian. Say, one, they speak the truth at all time. It's beautiful. Do you speak the truth? And I agree, I concur with that. Do you speak the truth? Are you saying something on Sunday and then Monday you are another person? Today now is Monday. Some of us will be going to work and some of us are on the way and some of us have already reached. What sort of language do you speak there among your colleagues that will make them know that you are a follower of Christ? Yesterday you've been in church shouting and praising God. But I encourage that same joy and that same way you displayed yesterday, you will display it in your environment this very day and this very week. The Bible said they are good listeners. Are you a good listener or are you a talker? Good listeners. You see, those who follow Christ, a mature Christian must be able to be a good listener. Because without you listening very good, how would you be able to assimilate? How would you understand when the correct message is coming? How would you hear from God? So today we have people who will just go on their knees and they pray, they rattle around and they just get up. They don't even care to know what God is saying to them. Please grow up and be matured. Because when you grow and you are matured, you will be able to know what is the will of God and acceptable will of God for you in this very season. As long as you are praying every day, God will speak to you. I pray that you will become a good listener so that you don't only speak to God, but you learn to listen. Mature Christians, they hardly take offense. Wow, I love this one. Yes, even the Bible tells us, offense will abound and offense will come. But woe unto the person from whom offense cometh. Because of offense, people leave the body of Christ. Because of offense, people leave relationships. Because of offense, people are wounded and they leave their jobs. Because of offense, nobody is ready to trust anybody. But matured Christians can go through offense. They can really endure offense and overcome it. You don't need to break out from relationships when offense comes up, but endure it and go through it. And that will be a very good mark. That people will look into your life and they say, this woman, she doesn't take offense, so you can say anything. And she has a way of just playing through the whole thing and then offense doesn't stay continuously. It comes and it goes. So but your ability to handle it when it comes would what will show that you are a mature Christian. Look at this. He said, mature Christians are quick to forgive. Is it true? Yes, it is. Without forgiveness, your sins can never be written off. So if you want your sins to be written off by God the Father, you also must learn to forgive. You forgive and then you can go before God boldly because you're forgiving somebody else, and then you can also ask God to forgive you. But what do we have? Immature Christians, are not. It's, when I talk about immature, I'm not talking about just people who are not group. I'm talking about people who have even been in church for years, but they have not grown to become matured because of little squabbles here and there. They take offense, they carry unforgiveness, and they carry bitterness, and they sow that seed of bitterness from generation to generation. They are never happy worshiping God. Today I pray that you will become, you will be set free. I pray that the Lord will help you. Let me tell you, mature Christians are reliable. Can God trust you? In the midst of storm, are you reliable? Can your overseer trust you? Can those that have been worshiping me, can they trust you? Or are you the type, immediately a new church comes in town, you jump and then you move to that. And then you lie. You are once a member when you were in Africa, so the church has come here and now then you have to jump. There was this lady, within 2 years, this person have gone to 4 churches. And I begin to wonder, how come? What are they really looking for? Going from one place to place to place to place. You are not matured. As long as you are not matured, you can never be trusted with anything tangible. May God set us free from immaturity. And just to end up this because of my time, mature Christians are supportive. You see, they support. They stand with you. Just like when Moses went to the mountain, you see Joshua and the rest of Caleb and the nun, they had to put something in their hands and they had to carry up the hand of the man of God so that he can be sustained in prayer. Are you supportive? In what way are you supporting the work of God? In what way are you standing with Christendom? Are you supportive? Or you are the type who will complain of what you know and what you do not know? And immediately you go to church, they are talking about raising funds for one thing or the other. You're checking out. You just quickly go because that's why you don't want to hear about it. If you have that nature, God can never trust you with anything. I pray that you will grow up and you will become matured. I pray that maturity will find you, that you yourself will determine to grow as a child of God. I'm leaving you with this word this very week, and I believe that it must have loved. It will bless you. You see, why Barnabas was trusted to go and search for a man like Saul? It was just because they have seen that if he goes, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and there was no rattling from Paul or Saul that will make him not to trust in what he has believed, which is in Christ. And they know that he wasn't going by his capacity; he was full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. Can your church trust you to go and fetch those who are backslided or who are persecuting Christ, persecuting the word, without you going there? If they present you a philosopher, you will just sit there and then the philosopher will dazzle you. You are not matured. Because if you know what you have believed in, you will stand firm and, you know, proclaim Christ no matter the environment you are in. I pray that the Lord will make us mature Christians. I pray that he will make us mature Christians, that we will not go about just going to church like nominal Christians, but we will desire to become mature in that which we profess. May God bless you and keep you, and may he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you as you walk through this whole week. In Jesus' name, I pray with thanksgiving. Say a big amen. Remember, this has come to you from my humble self, Apostle Henry Dokken of Rivers of Life Bible Church. You can join us every Sunday in Rikers verse number 89 from 10 o'clock. I look forward to hearing from you. Stay blessed and keep listening to Radio Voice of Niger. Bye for now.
The powerful word of God from the Apostle Helen Ruth Docker, the director of Radio Niger. we hit the hour of 9 o'clock, I would like to bring to you a piece of the pastoral forum. So just stand by.
Background as far as this topic is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I did not grow up in a Christian home, but when I was 17 and went away to study, I met some believers, and they told me about Jesus Christ. And very quickly, it became clear to me that the message of Jesus Christ is the truth. Through studying the book of Hebrews and through the life witness of this fellowship, I was deeply convicted of my own need for salvation in Christ. And gave my life to him. I've been very thankful for God's grace at that moment and every moment since then. When I had lived for a short time in this fellowship for a year or two, I realized that the Lord was calling me into ministry, and so I set off first to study at Bible College in Philadelphia, and then attended seminary in Portland, Oregon, in the United States, and finally in Dallas, Texas, where I got a doctorate in systematic theology. Then, shortly after graduating from Dallas, I came over to the Netherlands and have been serving here for 22 years as a missionary with Greater Europe Mission. I've done church planting and have been working for about 15 years with Tyndale Seminary.
Awesome, awesome. We thank God for all he's put into you, and we hope to gain some.
He actually criticized the Pharisees. He said to them, you know, you see the sun turning red at night, and you say tomorrow will be fair weather.
Yes.
And then he went on to say, but you fail to interpret the signs of the times. See, Jesus looked at these people, and we're living in a world like our own in many ways. Mm-hmm. And here, one of the greatest prophets. Because though they studied the scriptures, they were reading them with their own hopes. They were placing their own hopes into the scripture rather than listening to the plain testimony of the Bible.
I think it's quite scary because here were religious leaders of that time. Mm-hmm. And yet they couldn't discern the fact that the Messiah they've been waiting for was right in their midst.
Yes.
So it places us also in a very precarious situation now, that although many are going about preaching the gospel, talking about second coming, and yet they may be quite ignorant about certain clear signs which God has given to us. And that's why the question I ask, what do you think are some of the prophetic landmarks which are present in the world today, which anyone can look at and say, oh yeah, I see this and that in place, therefore I got to be ready because Jesus may be coming soon.
Yeah.
If you could really zero in on that, would be great.
Yeah. Let me say a couple things about that.
Yes.
Let's just take a break here. See if we can get my colleagues. First, I'd like to say that it's important not to fall into the error of setting dates, getting the idea that we ourselves know exactly when Jesus will return. Jesus himself in Mark chapter 13 said, concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Mm-hmm. So although we need to be on our guard and be awake and alert for this, we need to be careful about setting a date. So that's the first thing I think it's important to say. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I believe that the coming of Christ will actually take place in two parts. Mm-hmm. He will come in the first part for those who believe in him, his followers, his disciples, those who love him.
Yes.
And he will gather them to himself and take them up to be with him in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually no event that we're waiting for that has to take place before that moment. We talk about that being an imminent event, something that could happen at any time. Literally, before we finish this conversation, mm-hmm. the Lord could snatch us away to be with him in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a wonderful moment.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Then the second part of his second coming, will actually be when the Lord himself returns to earth. So he will descend from heaven with a heavenly army and actually descend all the way so his feet will touch in Israel, in Jerusalem, in the Mount of Olives, leading a great heavenly army to establish his kingdom where he will rule actually from heaven.
So you mentioned two events here. The first one, which we popularly refer to as a rapture, where believers will be resurrected those who are dead will resurrect, and those who are living will be translated.
Yeah.
To meet the Lord in the air.
Yeah.
And then the second part being when he visibly descends from heaven, touches his feet on Mount Elias,
yes,
and begins his millennial reign.
Yes.
Those are the three events you're talking about here.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I prefer to speak of them as one event.
One event.
But with two parts.
With two parts, okay.
And as far as that, what that second one will look like, there are some signs mm-hmm. that we can look forward to. And in Matthew 24,
yes,
Jesus' disciples asked him very much, when is this all going to happen? When will we see the Son of Man come? Mm-hmm. And starting at verse 3, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the close of the age?
Right.
And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. For this must take place, but the end is not yet.
Yeah.
For a nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Mm-hmm. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death.